Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Oh my, I'm glad you joined us this week. We've got so much geeky stuff to look at and listen to and enjoy. Oh, it's just going to be a lot of fun, so you need to hang in there with us on this podcast. Now, a lot of big things to talk about and announce this week. One of the biggest things is something that I feel that some of my faithful podcast listeners will have somewhat mixed feelings about, but that's okay. Just kind of breathe, you know, relax. It's all going to be all right. If you've gone to our podcast website, and I know those of you that are faithful listeners go there on a regular basis, where is it located? thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Yes, indeed, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And, of course, you can remember that we do now have a shortcut that's just drbill.cc. All you got to do is remember computer curmudgeon, both starts with C, C, computer, C, curmudgeon, drbill.cc, and you're there. So it's quick, it's easy. And you may look over to the right-hand side and notice that at the top of my little blue area there that I highlight every once in a while because it has so much very useful information in it, it says, and now a word from our sponsor, and it has an ad for Go to My PC. Now, some of you are going, oh, man, the doctor has sold out. Oh, man. No, hang in there. Be cool. Remember, I said breathe. It's all going to be okay. No, here's the thing. You got to kind of have a little green to rub together to do a podcast because there are so many various expenses. I know that you know that, and I know that you enjoy the content and the fun that we get into every week, and so you don't mind the fact that occasionally we talk about things like sponsorship. So don't worry, it's okay. You know, if I could hold your hand, I would be holding your hand. And just listen to the soothing sounds of the doctor's voice, and I'll let you know that everything's all right there. Now, the cool thing about GoToMyPC, and specifically Citrix, who is, of course, the parent company of GoToMyPC, being sponsors of the podcast, is that professionally, I am a Citrix engineer, and so I know their products, and I know the company, and I can tell you it's some of the coolest technology that you'll ever see is some of the Citrix technologies, and I've used GoToMyPC, and I can tell you it is an awesome tool. Once you start using it, it starts spinning off ideas of, ooh, hey, I could use this way or this way. And, you know, there's other cool things about it. Like, for instance, let's say you go on a business trip, right? And you leave things. You know, if you're like me, hey, I forget things sometimes when I go on a trip. And it's one thing if you leave your shoes, okay? But if you've got critical files that are at your office and you're on a business trip, dude, what are you going to do? Well, if you got GoToMyPC, it can save the whole trip, the whole meeting. Because you can access your PC from anywhere. You can grab that file, and you can just go there with GoToMyPC. That's what the name implies. It will go to your PC. You can pick it up. You can use all the programs on your computer, get to all your files, all your network resources, your email, whatever. So if you want to try it, I guarantee you, you'll enjoy this special offer that we have just for the listeners of Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. If you go, you can click on that ad that's on the website, or you can just go to gotomypc.com/podcast. Okay, real easy. gotomypc.com/podcast. Try it out for free, and here's the cool deal. 30 days free. You don't have to give them a credit card. You don't have to do anything special. Just try it. Boom. It's that quick. It's that easy. I just got off a few minutes ago as I record this on a Saturday afternoon late, which, by the way, this is March the 31st, Saturday afternoon, and 25 minutes after 5 o'clock as I record this. We just got off of the Tech Podcast Network roundtable, which we did through GoToMyPC, and it was really cool. So I'm kind of jazzed about it. So, okay, there you go. Just wanted to let you know, worry not, the doctor has not sold out. It just gives us an opportunity to continue to improve the podcast, which I know you are down with that. Okay. All right, let's look at some of the neat items that we talked about from the blog this week. First of all, would you use a virtual headphone? Well, I'll tell you what, I sure would. I am in a cubicle at work. I'm kind of Dilbertized where I work. I'm in a cubicle, and I got people all around me. And as you can probably tell from my voice carries. Okay? I mean, when I talk, people just go, what was that? What was that? Because I'm just loud. Okay? It's just my nature. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Well, anyway. So, I would love to be able to listen, and I do this all the time in my cubicle. I listen to, like, podcasts and all that while I'm working, and yes, I can work and listen to podcasts at the same time, okay? And so, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm doing whatever, but, you know, it means you've got headphones on, and that can be kind of constricting, and particularly if somebody calls you, and you've got headphones on, and you can't hear them, you know, they're going, Bill, hey! And they don't hear me. I don't hear them. They hear me because everybody hears me. But anyway, I digress. The point is that virtual headphones would allow me to sit at my desk, not wear the headphones, but hear the podcast that I listen to without disturbing everybody else. Now, believe it or not, this technology is being developed, and it's being developed by, I know you're not going to believe this, Microsoft. They're actually working on something that sounds worthwhile. Dude, that's pretty cool. Okay, anyway. Next item, Vista's successor to Outlook Express has, yeah, you guessed it, a security problem. Now, Outlook Express security was really, really bad. Matter of fact, a lot of people go, what security, dude? Hey, Vista's big claim to fame was supposed to be security. That's all they talk about. Whoa, it's the most secure operating system on the planet, man. Well, it turns out that Windows Vista Mail has a big problem. There's a hacker with the pseudonym of Kingcope has reported a security mailing list that there's a problem that can be implemented by embedding a link to a local program in an email. And so they've checked it, and sure enough, it is a security issue. They're looking into it. Microsoft, you know, I kind of feel for you because I know you're trying to get better in terms of security, but dude, it ain't happening right now, okay? All right, next item. This is our geek culture for the week, and it has to do with Linux. Now, how, you say, does it have to do with Linux? Well, have you seen I'm sure you have, the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC commercial, you know, really cute commercials for Apple, and I really like them. Well, Novell did a takeoff of those commercials, and let's listen to the audio from those commercials. I think you'll appreciate it.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
What's with the big hand?
Well, I figure it's time to show the world my position.
Really? That's what I was trying to do with this ultra-hip t-shirt I designed on iLife.
Number one. No one goofing off.
PC. Such a whiz of those numbers, you know that we can't both be number one.
I was here first.
That's debatable. You know, let's not argue about it. I mean, we're the only guys in town. Check us out. Look. Look around, there's nobody else.
You're right. No one else.
No one.
Hi. I'm Linux. And there are an estimated 30 million Linux users out there.
How long have you been standing there?
Long time.
Boy, you sure grew up fast.
Your Linux is ready, it says. Novell. That's kind of cute. I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, and you got the good-looking lady there that says, I'm Linux. All right, next version that I have posted on the blog is the second in the series. Let's check it out. Kind of cool.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
I'm a PC.
And I'm Linux. Well, well, fancy pants. New outfits, huh?
I figured I'd give myself a new look. I call this Mr. Leopard.
Oh, thank you. Ooh, it's nicely.
What's that?
I keep up with the latest trends.
And people just share that stuff with you?
All the time.
Wish I had a jacket like that.
I might work on you.
I'll probably wear this for another 6 or 7 years.
Vinyl?
Pleather.
Nice.
Pleather. Uh-huh, yeah. See, what's cool is, Linux, people were just walking up and handing her things to wear. Open source? Yeah, pretty cool, huh? All right, here's the third one. It's neat as well.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Hey, PC, check out my cool photo library application.
You know. Hey, have you seen what I can do with this snazzy Excel macro?
It's pretty tight. Time me while I do my desktop search.
Very speedy.
Pretty cool, huh?
Look what I can do with this multiple desktop thing now.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, fellas.
Hey there, Linux.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Are you running Linux?
Linux.
Looks like you're running Linux.
No.
You sure?
No.
Yeah, maybe. Yes, I'm running Linux.
Not me.
It's okay, Mac. We're all friends here.
I couldn't help myself.
Feels good to admit it.
Yeah. I like those. They're just kind of cool. So I wanted to share that with you. I know it's not as raucous as some of our geek culture has been, but it's just kind of refreshing somehow. All right, next item. This happened this week. I was, you know, watching it as it was occurring, because as a member of the Tech Podcast Network, I was getting all these little notices, and they were sending out emails, and we're almost live with a new site, and there was all this excitement going on. And when they finally went live, and matter of fact, Todd Cochran, who's the CEO of Raw Voice, who now owns Tech Podcast, he kept sending out emails going, okay, guys, be sure that you get your site within Tech Podcast, your page within Tech Podcast, updated, because when we go live, we want it to really look good. And so we were in there tweaking, and I was tweaking things and so forth, and it was really, really cool. Now, the reason that I talk about Tech Podcast Network and talk about how we're proud members of it is not just because it's something to do, okay? They really are committed technologists that are committed to good, clean, informative tech shows. I've had a lot of people write me that say, hey, Dr. Bill, I like the fact I can listen to your podcast, and I can be sitting there with my 5-year-old son or my, you know, 10-year-old daughter, and know they're not going to hear anything untoward during the podcast. And that clean, open, G-rated podcast is one thing I personally strive for. You know, I know part of it comes from the fact that I'm an ordained minister and have a doctorate in theology and all those kinds of things that I don't talk about really on this particular podcast so much. But the point is, this is a whole community of people who are committed to good, clean, funny, refreshing, interesting tech info. So I can highly recommend that you go check out the Tech Podcast Network. And as we always say, we are proud members of
this
the
show.
Tech
is a proud
Podcast
member of
Network.
The TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
And it is certainly here this week, because techpodcast.com is brand new, very cool, neat, Web 2.0-like website. So check it out. It's very cool. And I wanted to bring your attention to that, because I've used a lot of the neat features of the new Tech Podcast site this week myself. As I said, when I sit at work and listen to podcasts, you know, I've got my own feed coming in of shows that I regularly listen to, like Twit and Security Now and a lot of different podcasts. But the thing is, those are all coming in through my Juice Receiver software, and they're coming in as RSS feeds, and then I just listen to them. But I can go to techpodcast.com, and I can go look at a show, and I can play it through their player. And I found myself this week getting familiar with a lot of new shows that I wasn't as familiar with, because I could just click and use the player and listen to the latest show. Pretty neat. So check that out. I think you're going to like it. All right, next item. A new version of Durcaster is out. Now, let me tell you, I spent a lot of time this week working with Henry Ratliff, who is our super amazing PHP guru. I told him in the last email I sent to him, I'm going to have to promote him past guru now. You know, I'm not sure what that would be. I'll have to come up with a term, you know, maybe PHP God. You know, I don't know. But Henry outdid himself this time. This is a new version of Dirtcaster. We had comments within the forum on the Dirtcaster.org site of features that people wanted to see. And one of the features that people really wanted to see is the ability to, when you have, like, let's just use drbill.tv as an example, my video blog. If you've got a video cast like that and you have a feed, you might have a WMV file, a Windows Media file, and you might have an MP4 file. Both of them are video formats, but it's two different formats. You put them in the same RSS feed, and even though they're labeled as unique, you know, MP4 and Windows Media, if somebody is using something like Juice Receiver, they're going to get both files downloaded in their pod receiving, you know, podcast aggregator software. And that really can be a problem. What if you just want the MP4s? That's all you want. So I had somebody who both went to the forum and mentioned that, and also as an email said, you know, hey, Doc, is there any way you can show me how to get just the MP4s? And I said, you know, man, I'd really like to be able to do that, but there's just no way to do that right now. Henry says, let me look at it. And so he came up with a way to do it. All you have to do, for instance, if you go to drbill.tv and you want to subscribe, it's actually right there on the front page now how to do it. But basically, let's say you only wanted the MP4s. You could put in http://netcast.drbill.tv and then question mark, so you're going to put a parameter, FT, which stands for file type, equal MP4. And then you're only going to get a feed of the MP4s in the RSS feed. Now, I know that's terribly geeky, but just deal with it for a minute, because basically the upshot of it is your podcast aggregation software can be in effect tweaked by the URL you use to get the files you want out of that feed. That is cool. He also revised the GUID tag to be more unique. He added channel network tag to make it a little more compliant with the iTunes standard, quote unquote. And he aligned the XML tag indent so that if you look at the raw XML in the feed, it looks cool. So, lots of neat, cool stuff is in the new version of Dirtcaster, which is 0.9. We are getting so close to number one, we can feel it. Oh, we're getting so close. Oh, man. Anyway, next item. Is Apple TV, which was newly released, really the cheapest Mac Mini? Now, the Apple TV is just a little doohickey that sits on top of your TV, a little set-top box that you can hook up to your TV and then hook it up to the internet and use iTunes, basically, to subscribe to video, subscribe to TV shows, subscribe to, yeah, even podcast or video cast. In other words, you could watch drbill.tv over your Apple TV hooked to your television set. Now, dude, that is IPTV, even by John C. Dvorak's definition, okay? John C. Dvorak has a definition that it ain't IPTV till I see it on my TV set. And he's not talking about having to take the file off the internet and move it to your laptop and hook the laptop cable to the screen. He's wanting a set-top box that would allow you to watch television through a set-top box. Well, that's what Apple TV is, so John, be happy. Okay. Anyway, not the first, but it is Apple. What are you going to do? Okay. So, but it's actually, of course, really just a Mac Mini. It's just a little bitty computer. Now, in order to make it a set-top box, they made it smaller. And in order to make it a set-top box, they made it quieter, meaning it doesn't have a fan. Meaning that since it really is a real computer, it gets hotter than a $2 pistol. Now, if you don't know what hotter than a $2 pistol is, that's one of my dad's favorite phrases. I don't know where he got it, but I guess if you go out and buy a cheap Saturday Night Special $2 pistol, and you fire it, it gets really hot. I don't know, you know. But anyway, he said it all the time. That's hotter than a $2 pistol. Well, anyway, it gets that hot. Matter of fact, in one show this week, they demonstrated you can put popcorn on the top of the thing, and it will pop the corn. That's pretty hot, okay? I think they're going to have to address that, don't you? Anyway, bottom line is there's a whole bunch of websites that have sprung up with hacks for the Apple TV box that turn it into a game console and a real computer, and you could do RSS feeds and yada, yada, yada. There's just so many things that it allows you to do. So check that out. I've got a link in the blog to appletvhacks.net, which has a whole bunch of those hacks, and you can check it out for yourself. All right, next item, a video. This is a link in my blog to a video of Windows Vista getting owned by dragging an ANI file, an animation cursor file, to the desktop, and it kills Vista. Remember that thing about security? Never mind. Anyway, the Microsoft Security Response Center says it is a zero-day vulnerability. They're looking into it, and basically, here's what they say. In order for this attack to be carried out, a user must either visit a website that contains a web page that can be used to exploit the vulnerability or view a specially crafted email message or email attachment. Well, that's kind of how they usually get security issues, sent to them by an attacker. According to Microsoft Security Advisory 935423, 935,423 Microsoft Security Advisories that they admit to. Okay. Anyway, kind of makes you think, doesn't it? It does me. Well, guess what? That means we've got new Geek Software of the Week, and in fact, it is CPU-Z. We'll call it CPU-Z as we talk about it. Basically, it's a tiny, tiny little freeware program. You don't need to install it. It doesn't put anything in your registry. It's just a little executable. You know, it's kind of hard to remember that programs used to be just executables that you didn't have to install. But you run this thing, it gives you information on your CPU, on your motherboard, all the information about what motherboard you have, and things like that, in case you want need to go more get more drivers, and you don't want to crack the case open and look at all the little, you know, get a flashlight and say, what was that number? I can't hardly read it. If you're like me and you need glasses, you go, oh man, how am I going to read that? Well, CPU-Z gives you the information that you need to get your drivers downloaded, all that kind of good stuff. Dude. Okay, so check that out. I think you will really like it. And of course, as usual, with Geek Software of the Week, it is freeware. Well, this week, we also have a segment of the Game Master. You know, we've been featuring the Game Master. By the way, I forgot to mention that this is podcast number 82, for those of you keeping score. But guess what? Since podcast number 80, we've had the Game Master on, my son Benjamin. And this week he requested that we use a different audio intro to his segment of the podcast. The intro this week is a manga anime sensation in Japan called Beat the Vandal Slayer. Is that right? Buster. The Vandal Buster. Vandal Slayer, Vandal Buster. I have a hard time keeping up with these things. But at any rate, he has a theme song which is actually in Japanese. So if you hear the Japanese and go, I don't understand what they're saying, neither do I. Anyway, that's our intro music for the Game Master segment, so let's check that out right now. Well, it's time for another Game Master segment, and here is my son Benjamin, the Game Master himself.
Yo.
And I understand that this week you have some reviews for us.
I do indeed. I have actually two reviews today.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what's up first?
The first is a game from several years ago called Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
Is this one of your retro game reviews?
Yes.
7 years, okay.
Well, several, seven, I don't know which.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, it was for Xbox, PC, I think that's it, but it was a very, very, very good game, and they have yet to make a sequel for it.
So, what did you think of it?
Well, Play Control was good. I wouldn't say it was excellent, but it was good. The storyline was excellent, being Star Wars and everything. General quality control was good. You know, graphics were good, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I would definitely give it a 9 out of 10.
Cool.
It's one of the better games in my arsenal. I mean, collection.
Yeah. I've noticed that your terminology tends to have to do with weaponry.
Explosions, too.
Yeah, Jamie wants Big Boom. Apparently so does the Game Master.
Yes, I do.
All right, so what's your next game that you have for us?
Okay, this one came out sometime either this year or last year. I'm not entirely sure which.
So it's not retro. Exactly.
No, not quite, no. This is Rockman ZX.
So, for those of you that aren't up on such things, Rockman is the Japanese name of what we know as Mega Man.
Yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
The American market thought that Mega Man was cooler sounding than Rockman.
They're all bunnies.
Yeah, that's his way of saying that they're silly. He thinks bunnies are rather silly.
Or evil, or mean, or stupid.
That's because he works professionally with an evil bunny, so.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Care to explain that reference?
Sure. I work at the Natural Science Center of Greensboro on a volunteer basis, and there's an evil bunny at the Natural Science Center. There really is.
Uh-huh.
She just is, like, thrashing around and scratching everything, and one time she got on my hand and tried to escape. It was evil.
So, it's not that she wears, you know, a dark hood or a cape or any of that kind of thing.
No, she's not Sith, but she's still evil.
Okay, evil bunnies. So there we go. So what about this game?
This is Mega Man ZX for the DS, hence why it's, you know, fairly recent, since the DS is fairly recent. But it's a side-scrolling action shooter from Capcom. And it's one of the better games for the DS, that's for sure.
So what do you rate it?
I would have to give it either a 9 or a 9.5 out of 10, because it's a Mega Man game, for one thing, which means, you know, it gains a point right there. The plot is good, the game control is good, the graphics are all good. They're basically ripped straight from the Mega Man Zero series, though, so, you know, kind of reused a bit, but at least they're new characters.
So, are you ever going to review a game that's really terrible? I notice most of the games are 9 and above.
Yeah, there are a couple games I could review that were terrible, like Superman 64.
Somehow I knew Superman was going to come up.
That's a super retro game that gets a 0.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think it was universally panned by most gamers.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, I think that will probably do it for our time this week. Believe it or not, we have zipped through it. So you have future gaming things to do. Oh, what about a hint or a tip? Last time you said cheat codes. What do you have for us this week?
Well, I've got several cheat codes I could tell you about for Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What's a few quickly?
In the Xbox version of the game, if you crouch down and then input codes on the directional pad, you can become invincible, you can use infinite force power, get all the weapons, any number of things. You can find those codes online at LucasArts.com.
So you basically use these codes, you crouch down, and all this stuff happens.
Crouch down first, input the code, and then stand up, and the code happens.
Cool. All right. Well, sounds good. And we will check with you next week and see how it's going in the game.
All right.
There you go. The Game Master segment to the podcast. And I trust you're really enjoying these. I would like to hear from you, Dr. Bill.